Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm really excited to introduce you to a new friend of mine that I connected with over at a conference recently for moms called Mom 2.0 in Los Angeles, California. So welcome to the show, Claudia Ramos.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
I'm so excited connect with you.
Me too.
So I got to give you a backstory, and then I'm going to tell you all about this incredible human and what they do. And I'm so excited to hear Claudia's story. But I was out doing a little photo shoot by the pool in my bathing suit, and over walks this beautiful woman, Claudia. And we were like, hey, you got like your tag for mom too. So tell us about your work. And then you explained, and we'll pause for a second and, we'll get back to that. But you explained what you did, and immediately I was like, oh, I hope she'll want to be on my podcast.
Oh, you're so cute. It's so sweet. Yeah, I saw you. I saw you posing and then taking your pictures, and I was like, oh my goodness, I love this outfit. You look fierce. I love it.
Oh.
Cute. And it's like the setting was so, of course, we have the pool. We're in downtown LA, and it's gorgeous. You know, hotel, and I was just like loving the vibe, and we just totally hit it off, and I was like, yes, I would love to be on your podcast, and I'm here.
So yes!
I'm excited.
I know. So you are the founder of Hola Mijas Bonitas, which is a cute Latinx stationery brand. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself, I absolutely love. But your mission mm-hmm. to bring inclusivity, mm-hmm. diversity, and joy to everyone,
yeah.
and for people to see themselves represented, I was like, okay, you're like an amazing human, and I have to hear your whole story.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and you're a mom, mm-hmm. and you're a plus size woman,
yeah.
and I'm just like, I just can't wait to have this conversation. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to us? And then I'd love to hear your journey to starting your business.
Yes, totally. First of all, I just want to say thank you. And for all the listeners, I want to say hi. You know, I'm really happy to be here. And I love this whole positivity. And yeah, we totally hit it off. But yeah, my name is Claudia Ramos. I am a graphic designer, illustrator, product designer, and also an entrepreneur. I was born in El Salvador and came to the United States when I was a little girl, a little baby. And so I basically mm-hmm. grew up my whole life here in Los Angeles, California. And mm-hmm. growing up in LA, in my neighborhood, you can call it like mid-city. My neighborhood was just a melting pot of so many different race, different cultures, different food, different art. Like we lived in an apartment. And of course, my neighborhood wasn't that, you know, there wasn't a lot of positivity. There was, you know, some gangs and drugs and things like that. But even though that all that was going on, there was still some beauty in it with the friendships that I built in there. Like I had friends that were Muslims, and I would listen to their prayers every morning. Like even though I was sleeping, I can hear them pray in the morning, and I would like make a music out of it. And, you know, in my head, it's just like, I just was so in tune with everything. And also my friends, I had Asian friends, everything. It was just a melting pot. So even though, like I said, my neighborhood wasn't as positive, I still found some positivity with the friendship and just the schools and my friends around me. And so that inspired my brand, Hola Mijas Bonitas, because again, growing up, I love like stationery. I mean, I feel like every kid always had a sticker or maybe a folder or a notebook and things like that. And so for me, it was like Hello Kitty. And so
I was just thinking, Claudia, when you were saying that, I was like, oh, I had my Hello Kitty binder and my stickers.
Like Hello Kitty. That was like my thing. Everything cutesy, everything kawaii. So I just, you know, grew up loving all that and just, you know, didn't really pay attention too much regarding like race or if I was not represented until I started understanding or when I grew a little bit older. And I just was like, hey, I don't see characters that look like me, that are brown or that look like my sisters that are light skin. And then I have like friends that are Afro-Latina that are a little bit dark skin, and just are inspired by my daughter that she's half Asian, she's Filipina, and with me, Latina. So I just never saw characters that I can felt represented. Like, it's always nice to see ourselves, you know, in when you walk into a store or when you look at a website, you like, you want to feel seen, right? And so
right.
I just never saw that.
I mean, as mm-hmm. as a white woman, mm-hmm. I know that I have so much privilege mm-hmm. and see myself seen all the time, mm-hmm. which is why it's so important to me to bring on yeah. stories like yours, because we don't know what we literally don't see, because mm-hmm. often, you know, people exist in who are white mm-hmm. see themselves all the time. So we don't realize who isn't seen.
Yeah.
And that's been a big wake up call in the conversations about white privilege that I think are so, so incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes they make people feel uncomfortable when we use the word privilege.
Yeah.
But when we understand, can you imagine growing up mm-hmm. never or hardly ever seeing yourself represented in television mm-hmm. and movies, except for like side characters
yeah.
and you know, it's hard enough existing in a larger body, but to not mm-hmm. even see people who look like you mm-hmm. in general, it breaks my heart. So
yeah.
I'm really like just so touched for this conversation
yeah.
and to have you here. About how old were you when you realized, not necessarily when you realized, hey, I want to create yeah. a solution to this in mm-hmm. a little corner of the world, but when you realized this isn't right, like mm-hmm. why don't I see myself represented?
Yeah, I think when, well, I know that, like, for example, it almost, well, for me, it was mostly like TV, like novelas
and,
yeah. novelas and so I was like, maybe like, I could say maybe I'll say 10, 9 or 10, I started understanding a little bit more, because I was see my mom watching her novelas or like the commercials, and I will always see, like, I started paying attention, like how we were being represented. For example, in the novelas, a lot of the times, like, we were maids, like, if we were, you know, dark skin or brown, you were always like a villain. We were always, and so I started noticing mm-hmm. little things like that. And it was just like, oh, okay. Or we were never seen, like, in animation, it was like, you know, not really shown a lot. And also, like I said, like in stationaries, it was just characters that I just didn't see. Many characters, but also I saw myself like paying attention to dolls also. Like when I would go to the store,
yeah.
like my mom would get me like a doll that had blue eyes and blonde hair, and it would just, I mean, you know, like Barbie, and you know, we love that. But I would always gravitate to like when they would do a brown skinned girl, like one,
yes.
and I would be like, oh, I want it. Like I will, like, just, I don't know why I will be just like, I just want that doll. And I guess maybe because I saw myself in that character, I was like, oh my God, that's me. I have brown hair. And it was like one from the many of the other dolls that had like different skin tone, I mean, light skin. And so, yeah, so I think like 9 or 10, I started understanding a little bit more. And just started paying attention to like the TV and the magazines and also the dolls. And then I started getting obsessed with just getting like more dolls, like that were just kind of like being rebellious, I guess you could say, like, to be like, yes, I have a dark skinned doll and I love her. You know, like I love that she has dark, that she looks like me and she has curly hair, you know, like, and she, I don't know. It was something like I felt represented. I would just be like, that's my doll. But I don't know. It was so weird how to bring it. But yeah. But yeah, I was like that age. So.
No, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And I remember it was 2002 when the movie Real Women Have Curves mm-hmm. came out. And I saw a strong Latina representation mm-hmm. and also someone with curves.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that movie and how much I loved it, but also realizing that I hadn't seen stories
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
And I just remember that sticking with me. And since then I've interviewed an incredible person that did a short documentary, Lola, and I'll put their information in the show notes, mm-hmm. but also representing the Latinx community. And like, I can only imagine growing up in Los Angeles, that is such an incredible melting pot, but a huge representation
mm-hmm.
of the Latinx community,
yeah.
but then not seeing yourself represented in the way that everyone else is represented when they exist in a lighter skinned body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. Like, I remember that with America Ferrera, you know, and like,
yeah,
she's so amazing. I've actually met her. Oh, wow. Yes. And I gave her one of my pins that I designed. But yeah, she was just, I remember seeing her and like just the scene of like, I remember when you know, the scene where they're like, they're wearing like just a bra or something like that.
Yeah.
And I felt
working
like,
on the dresses.
Yeah. And I was like so empowered. I was like, wow, like you don't see many, more, you know, Latina and wearing like a bra and just, you know what I mean? In a curvy girl too. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Like, even though I was in a melting pot, neighborhood, I don't know why. I just, maybe I guess we were just paying attention to some, for me, I was paying so much attention to the magazines and the TVs. So I just, even though I had so many friends that were like, yeah, we look the same or like we speak Spanish, but still I didn't, I guess for me, it was like, if you saw yourself on TV, then like, okay, we are represented. Like, I don't know. It's just, I even though I had everything around me that was diversity and everything like that, it just, TV was like big for me, or also music, you know, another thing, because at that time, Spanglish was not a big thing. Like, people will, even in my community, like my parents will look at me wrong. They would be like, you need to speak only Spanish at home, no English. But when you go to school, you speak English. So even like doing Spanglish, like when it was a big thing, like you're not, no, you don't do that. Now it's like in the radios, you hear all that. So you're like, yes, you're feeling represented as a person that speaks Spanglish. So even little things to this day still matters to me when it comes to, if I do, I see myself on TV when, with these, you know, musicians or actors, and even the way they speak also, it's just like, it's crazy.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. So you were about 10 when you were like, this doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. Like, there needs to be more. Mm-hmm. And so what was that then, like going through adolescent and young adulthood? When did you, had you always been an illustrator? And I know you're a graphic designer, but when did you start bringing in more of yourself and your community into your art?
Yeah. So, so I went to LA High. I mean, I've always been like, you know, I've always was drawing since I was a kid, but I just never saw like a career. Like, you know, you're a kid, you don't, I wasn't thinking that at that time. And so when I started going to high school, my parents decided to, so I was going to LA High, then my parents decided to move to the Valley, and I moved to North Hollywood. And so I started attending North Hollywood High, and that's where I started taking like advanced AP art, you know, and then I started drawing characters that look like, or my friends, you know, I would draw girls with like little cute afro puffs or little like braids. And, but I wasn't still thinking yet like, oh, I'm going to make a career out of this or make a something.
Right.
Yeah. I was just drawing myself or drawing friends because I didn't see it, you know? So I just wanted to express myself by drawing, you know, these little different type of mediums like painting or, you know, drawing and sketching. So then once I graduated from high school, I went to community college, and I was like, I knew that I wanted to do something that will impact the world with like psychology, because I always was that girl, like, more than I'm the oldest in my family, I have two young sisters, I always took like the mommy role. So every time I met friends, I always had that mommy instinct. Like, I was always like, oh, you don't have napkins? Let me go get you some napkins. I was always doing that. So I always had that. So I knew I wanted to do something with like, and I always gave advice also. That was another thing. So I knew when I went to community college, I wanted to do something with psychology and so with art. And so they told me, okay, you're going to have to, you know, you could take these courses. And I was like, oh, but this is going to sound bad. But I was like, this is kind of difficult. So what else can I do with art?
That doesn't sound bad at all. We all have our strengths. And I mean, when I went to community college, I wasn't even in the base level of math. I was in like pre-college math because math is not a strength of mine, but I love to write. Yeah. So, you know, we all have our strengths. Yeah. So it doesn't sound bad at all.
Okay,
so I can't draw. Let's be clear. I can pull off a stick figure, but I cannot do what you do. So we all have our own talents and strengths.
And I was like, okay, what can I do? And then my counselor was like, have you ever heard of graphic design? And I was like, oh, what is that? And then that's when I started learning about graphic design and I started taking the classes. And then I transferred to Cal State Northridge and continue growing my strengths with, you know, taking courses and, you know, and then from there I graduated and then I started working in the corporate world. So after working in the corporate world, that's when I started seeing a lot of things that my parents didn't prepare me. So, or I didn't have a mentor regarding more being a person of color. I didn't know how to ask for maybe a raise, or if something came up, let's say somebody said something that's not appropriate or doesn't sound right. Right. I didn't know how to speak up. So I was always quiet because my parents was like, just be grateful you have a job. Just be grateful and be like that. So I would just be like very quiet. And it was something that I was like struggling. And I just started noticing little things, you know, like how some people will make certain comments. So from there, like I said, I had the privilege to work in these companies that made me continue build my portfolio. And when it comes to an artist, you know, like American Greetings, I was doing illustrations there for greeting cards.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I worked at Jerry Lee, which is like doing apparel. And then I worked at, my last job was at Hasbro, which is what literally made me like push myself to work on doing my girls, because I got to see how they do products, the toys, you know, for children and things like that. So I was like, okay, I have something that I've been drawing and sketching for a while, and which is just for my, again, drawing for myself, characters that look like me. And so I started like drawing more, and then that's how like I learned so much working there. And I just basically applied it to my girls, and then that's how they evolved. I know I just told you a whole story of my life, but
no, I love it. I mean, and I related to what you said about like not knowing how to navigate, you know, that corporate world that can be so intense, especially if you're a woman, let alone a woman of color also. Like, it is not designed, you know, for women in general, and especially for minorities. And it seems like, you know, there's certain people always at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
and how do you speak up without, you know, worrying about losing your job when you see things that aren't right? And so, but maybe that was also your entrepreneurial spirit telling you, this isn't the right fit for me, but I'm going to learn as much as I can while I'm here.
Yeah, you exactly said it like on point. And with that, I started like looking for ways, like, okay, so I don't have any mentors, so I'm going to try to see if there's like events that I can go to meet other women that are maybe have the same like thoughts, like, you know, like they want to grow and they want to, you know, inspire, or, you know, they want to be an entrepreneur. So I started attending to a lot of different summits, you know, and with that, going there, I met so many women and that, you know, that look like me, or they're trying to do like start a business. And it just, it inspired me so much. And then made me find my voice to where I started speaking up at my job, you know, where I don't see representation or this and this and that. And then, it pushed me to grow my girls, like be like, okay, I have something here. And it's not no more about Claudia drawing herself to see herself in this little paper that like, oh, that's me. I was like, no, I want to share this like little character that I just designed and share it to everybody else where they can see themselves with this little girl, like what this little character. And then from there, like I started drawing my rest of the girls, because then I started thinking about my mom. I started thinking about my sisters. I started thinking about my friends where they don't see themselves. Or I didn't see them, basically. I didn't see them out there. And I was like, I have something here. And I just want the anybody that loves stationaries or planners or, they can purchase something or they can, you know, somebody give it to you like as a gift that look, this looks like you, or I want you to be seen. So that's what I was doing. And, cause in the corporate world, there's rules, you know, there's always going to be rules and they're always thinking about the money, like which doll is the one that's being sold most, you know? And so for me as a brown girl, I was like, oh man, why can't they do like Tiana and like more Tianas and doing more different things? Cause she's a boss and little things like that. And so, I don't know, like it's always the Cinderella is the most popular one, you know, things like that. So I was just like, you know what, I'm going to just draw these and then these girls and then see how it goes. And it's been such an amazing, like, a roller coaster, and I'm more motivated than ever to continue pushing because I've seen so many mothers and fathers and even kids come to my booth when I do pop-up events and they're like, mommy, this looks like me, or like a father's like, oh my god, this is amazing, I've never seen this, I can totally give this to my wife or my daughter or my son or little things like that, because I'm also going to create boys, they want hijos, but I'm in the process. Yes. But also the fathers giving to their sons also, so I'm just like, it's just so,
yes,
I just love it. And they're like, I love this mission, like I love what you're doing and keep at it. And I was just like, okay, I love it,
because
it fills my heart. Like I think that's always been like that gap, like I said, growing up, like I never saw myself. So I think it's hearing people telling me that they see themselves or thank you for making it. It fills that gap that I had when I was a kid, like the missing part that I always wanted to feel represented. Like I see it on them now. Like I'm like, oh, they fill my heart. I'm like, oh, makes me happy.
Yeah, and you clearly have so much passion for what you do. And so it feels less like a job and more like building something incredible that can also provide for you and your family, but can help to make the world a brighter place for so many. And I love that you shared how you went and you sought after a mentor, because that's something we hear a lot in entrepreneurship. And I've done that for myself. Yeah. That makes such a big impact in how do we even go from having a dream, seeing a problem, wanting to fix it, or even just having a dream and wanting to build your own business to like making it become a reality. So after you worked with mentors and then you'd also worked in the corporate spaces, learning as much as you could, What was that moment where you took that leap of like, I'm gonna make this dream become a reality?
Yeah, another thing is that being a mother, you know, and having my own daughter, I know that I like my daughter. I just, and also want to share that I'm also the breadwinner. Like my husband, you know, he didn't work for, he's in the process right now looking for a job, but he didn't work for years because he got like some condition where I had to be the breadwinner, which is nothing. I've always been that person. I always worked for myself, but you know, we got married and then 2 years after my daughter was born and then like, you know, he got sick. And then, so I had to start working, which I already had planned, but it was a challenge, you know? So with that said, having like that go-getter, like, okay, I need to make that money. And doing all that stuff, my daughter was just my inspiration. Where like I want her to see herself and feel that. I know it's gonna sound I just want her to feel that she doesn't need anybody regarding like a man because again, I grew up in you know, I love my parents and I've been really. I've told them how I felt, you know, but my dad was like machismo, which is old school where the father is the breadwinner and you do what is told, right? The woman just cooks and things like that. So I, growing up and seeing that, I always felt like, no, that's not right. I don't know where that came from. I just always felt that it wasn't right. I didn't want to fall into that. And even though my situation with me taking care of my husband, it still made me feel powerful. I don't know how to explain it. Like I found my voice regarding like as making my own money and things like that. So I just wanted my daughter to see that, you know, you don't really you can do it all on your own. You just put your mind into it. And so, sorry, I'm like going in a different, like, speaking.
No, I'm like nodding my head the whole time as a woman and an entrepreneur. I totally relate to that. I don't have a daughter to pass that along to, but as a partner who is always needed to make more money to make rent, you know, I know that pressure and that stress, and then add on being an entrepreneur and trying to build your own business at the same time. It is exhilarating, but scary and hard and sleepless nights and exhaustion and all the things. But like, I hope that my son looks back at all those nights when, you know, mommy's working so hard and isn't necessarily making dinner, and we're, you know, heating something up in the microwave, and realizes like she was building something to make a difference in the world. And I know that your daughter sees that in you.
Thank you. Oh my God. Yeah, totally. You're like hitting everything. Like, it's one of those things that you battle. For me, I battle with that a lot regarding, like, I'm so empowered. Like, I love feeling like this. And you know, my mom, like, just, again, like I said, my dad is very old school, but my mom's taught herself how to drive, you know, a car, you know, and she's got her job, so, you know, started working, you know, and I had to kind of like take care of my sisters. I remember when she came up to me, she's like, okay, Claudia, I think I was like 10 or 11. And she came up to me, she's like, I was laying in the couch and she came up to me and she's like, okay, Claudia, I'm going to start working and you're going to have to take care of your sisters. And I have like two little sisters, right? And I was like crying because, you know, so used to seeing my mom every day. And I was like, it's okay, mom, I got this. And she's like, okay, so I'll leave the food ready for the morning so you can give them breakfast. So I had to take like that mother role, you know, with my sisters, you know, so I started taking care of them and picking up at school. So I had to grow up really fast, more with the neighborhood that I was living in. It was really tough. So you always are like watching your back. And then again, trying to be a kid also. And so so my mom was like my inspiration when it comes to like being a strong woman and doing, you know, now she's a teacher's assistant. She got her AA degree. I'm so proud of her. And
that's incredible.
Yeah. And so with that, just seeing all this stuff that happened, it just basically made me reflect. And when I was working, like I said, at Hasbro, I ended up, like, I was still working on my girls, and I saw that I had something, and I just was not seeing a lot of things that I wasn't really happy with myself there. I just was not happy anymore. And I decided to take the leap, you know, because I was like, thinking of everything that I've gone through and all the inspiration with all these amazing people that I've met, my mom also being my inspiration. I just reflecting on everything basically when I took the leap. I was like, think, you know, it's time for me to go, and I'm going to concentrate on my girls full time and freelance. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm freelancing, and it, don't get me wrong, it's tough. Like, it's being a freelancer is really hard, because you always have to push yourself out there to get clients and bring in the, you know, bring some income. But I'm like, mentally, I'm so like, my mental health was very important. And and again, and I'm just so happy now. Like, literally, I'm very happy that I'm like, get to work on my girls, but also freelance on the side to bring in money. But, and I've met so many amazing people like you. Like, I feel like if I was still working at that company, I would have maybe not been able to go to this event, like, so, like, be like, okay, I'm gonna be there, like that. I'm gonna go at the event where I met you and everybody else. I feel like everything happens for a reason. And I just kind of reflect a lot on the things that I've gone through and people that I meet. And I feel like there's a reason. Everything is, there's a reason. I don't know. It's just, I'm sorry. It was just like, I know. And that's another thing I need to work
on.
Do
not apologize. I am loving every minute of this.
I know. I need to say, so everybody that's listening to, we need to stop saying sorry. That's another thing that I'm working on. I've been saying that since, I don't know why. And I think it's me being scared or afraid, or also to be a comfort thing. Because even when I was giving birth to my daughter, I was saying sorry to the nurses. And I was like, why do I say sorry? Like, I don't know why. And so that's where I'm kind of reflecting on that too.
Wow. No, I used to do that often. Mm-hmm. And I had a mentor that, like, basically was like, stop that.
Yeah.
Stop apologizing. And I still catch myself doing it, but it took someone being like, and I realized for me, It was me minimizing myself. It was me trying to make myself smaller, especially as a plus size person. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm in the way, or I'm so sorry. I spoke over you, or I'm so sorry. My opinion isn't as important as your, you know, and then finally realizing like, no, I don't have anything to apologize unless I like accidentally step on your foot, you know, or like something like that. Like, there's certain times we definitely need to apologize, but I feel like as a woman and as a plus size woman, I found myself apologizing, and it made me minimizing myself and my contributions in many circumstances. So, I think it's something that so many of us do for a multitude of reasons, but that was mine. So I've worked on that too, but like, I can totally relate to your story as an entrepreneur that, you know, had a plus size pregnancy and read everything online that I couldn't have a healthy outcome. And I did. So I wanted to build a space where people felt supported with positive evidence-based information. And it has been a decades worth journey that is filled with debt and tears and joys and highs and lows. Yeah. And it's scary, but I now, you know, provide for my family without struggling. And that is something that I'm really, really proud of. So I'm so proud of you for taking that leap, because it is terrifying, but you never know the impact that you're having in the world until you have those moments like you shared at the booth where people come up and they're like, I see myself, or I see my child, and I've never seen them represented in stationery or stickers or your tape and all that you do. Like, that is so affirming to so many people. And it is life-changing to see yourself represented and to find a space for yourself. And I really, truly admire all that you're doing and your mission and your passion behind it. I share it in my own world too. And it's exhilarating. And I think that people can apply this, even if they're not wanting to be an entrepreneur, they can apply it to anything in their life that they really want to go after. Yes. I feel like, especially as moms, we get so stuck in these routines and we lose ourselves and our joys. And so whether it's that you're an artist and you haven't done watercolors in a while, like find that watercolor class or like a college, a community college course you can take during the summer, like go after something that means something to you, because it fills your heart and your soul with so much passion.
That's so true. Like, I totally agree. I mean, I remember one time I was doing a pop-up event, and I made my own little charm pen. Like, so they're like writing pens, and I added these little charms with my girls. And I have one of the characters, her name is Amber. She's my beautiful Afro-Latina. And this lady came up to me, and she grabbed the pin, and she was like, put it on her chest. And she's like, thank you for making me. She looked at me and she was like emotional, like her eyes were like watery. And she was just like staring at me and said that. And I was like, cause you're in the moment, you're like, you have so many traffic, right? And you're like, and then she just grabbed the pin, and then she put it on her chest, and she's like, thank you for making me. Like, this is so me. She was like, and I was just like holding myself to not cry, because I was like, because I was caught out of guard, you know, and I was just like, and I was like, this is what my mission, this is my calling. Like, I've been always telling people, I've always been the person, like I was saying earlier, like I always was the mommy, like always giving people advice and things like that. And so with that, with her saying that to me, it just basically like reinforced what I was been saying to everybody else. Like, you'll find what you're passionate, like you'll find it when you continue doing what you love. I always say that on any platform, social media, like I put hashtag be fearlessly creative and do what you love, because that's exactly what I did. I was always dabbling in different type of art stuff, you know, and I found that this is what I've been drawing for a while, but I just never didn't know that I can make it into a business until like I started really digging into it. And then just hearing lady saying that to me, it just like filled my heart so much. And I was like, okay, I really need to be pushing more on this, because this is my gift to make people feel feel happy and get so much joy from a pen, mm-hmm. you know, with a cassette.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
Yeah. You're giving me chills. So much joy from a pen.
Yeah, from a pen. You know what I mean? Yes. And some people might be like, oh, it's just a pen. But that person is like, now, like, this is me. I see myself and I love it. And so, so I'm just thinking, imagine an adult feeling like that. I can imagine how a child feels, you know? So.
Yes. What is your vision? Like, what do you want to see for Hola Mijas Bonitas? Like, what is your big dream?
Yes. Oh my God, my big dream. And I've been saying this all came up. I've been saying it like very quietly. I'm like whispering it right now, very quietly.
I loved it.
But the reason I say that is because I was that again, like the way I grew up, and you never saw representation, or also you, like, people will say, oh, you're just bragging, or you're like flaunting, mm-hmm. right? So that's something that I'm internally working on, and now I'm saying it loud. And this all happened as a mom 2.0, where I met these amazing women, and I said it. I was outside at the pool, and I said it. It was at night. We were outside. We were talking about, you know, our goals, and I said it very loud, and with these big buildings right there, and and I said, I want to be like the next, like basically next to Hello Kitty, next to Disney. Like, I want, like, I have a building with my girls up there saying, oh, like, I want to be like an empire. Because yes! I wanted to be like, even, I know this is going to sound like, even if I pass away, I still wanted to continue like the brand. Like, you know, I wanted to leave a legacy where this is going to get bigger. I wanted to be in every store. I want the next to be like, when people think of Hello Kitty, I want like Hola Mijas Bonitas being next to them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yes,
I want that, because I feel like it's, I shouldn't be shy and be afraid to say it. And I'm saying it here on your podcast, because like I said, yay! Last time I said it in real time, right? And this is like now gonna be in a podcast.
Now you're sharing it with a lot of people. Yes. And who knows who's listening, right? Yeah. There might be someone that, you know, could help catapult that. Yeah. Or there might be people listening that could offer you freelance gigs. So maybe let me hype you up a little in the meantime while you're building this dream. What is your freelance artwork and graphic design work that you do?
Yeah. So right now, my specialty is when I'm really doing textile design. So when I was working at Hasbro, I was doing all the, for example, Frozen, Elsa, and Anna. I did the artwork on their dresses. So So I was doing their artwork for Frozen 2. That was all me. Descendants.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Descendants. Wow. I did Descendants 2, Moana. So I would do the artwork on the patterns, on the fabric art. So that was me. I did some Power Rangers. Yeah. So my specialty right now, like, I feel like I can do everything, but mostly right now it's like textile design. So, but I do, you know, if you want a graphic for apparel, like, you know, you can always reach out for me and things like that. But yeah, it's been like, when you look at my portfolio, it's a mold of everything. I've done so many different things, because I feel like I love challenging myself, learning new things. Like, when I graduated from CSUN, it was mostly print. And regarding, like, you know, magazines and banners, but I didn't take classes for web. And so when I started working at American Greetings, they were like, oh, well, you're going to have to build, like, stuff for websites. And I was like, I'm for it. I'll even though I'll do illustrations for greeting cards, I want to learn all that. So my portfolio is a mix of everything, but right now it's more textile. Like, yeah, sorry. I'm like still in the zone, because I just can't believe I shared that with you regarding the what I want to do in my dream.
Yeah, no, we should go back to that. I didn't mean to derail us, but I just thinking earlier, like, I want to be sure to hype her up on all levels. But yes, I can completely see you aligned there and having your girls everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah. I still, when you walk down the aisles and see stickers, mm-hmm. it is illustrations, but they're not diverse. And it's mind blowing in 2022.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what?
No, this year, like literally, I pushed myself. I said, I'm going to be everything that used to hold me back. I'm going to change it. So like, I've been very like a go-getter. Like I'm going to push myself out there. And one of the things I did this year was, I went to this event called Go Wild, which is like a planner event, where all these amazing people that love planners go and meet sponsors. And, so I decided to sponsor a table. So this was like my first time introducing my girls to the planner community in, wow. in yeah. And so I decorated my table. You can go to my Hola Mi has my best Instagram. You'll see the way I decorated my table. But it was my first time and everybody loved it. And everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe like there's an actual brand. That's not a lot of brands that are Latinx, and they were like saying, please continue creating more because the community yes. needs it. And then I ended up actually trying the Erin Condren was giving a like doing like kind of like a grant, and so you had to like pitch. So I ended up being picked to pitch my brand, and I won second place. And I was
congratulations,
thank you. And I was shocked. I was like, what? I'm like, I can't believe it because again, like I said, like the voice in my head was like, nah, they're not gonna. You know, you're going to be against these other amazing brands. Like, come on, you know. And now, and then with that said, they reached out to me and they are going to be carrying my girls in their store. They yeah. So I'm like, so I feel like everything that I've been manifesting, basically saying it out loud, it's happening. I mean, I'm working really hard, but I feel like I have to continue moving forward what I really want to do, and there's just so many doors are opening up, and I'm just so happy that people are seeing the vision, you know, that they're seeing that there's something special with the girls. And even going to Mom 2.0, I was like in the mission too, because I was like, I want other moms to see these brands. As I was leaving my cards, I don't know if you saw my business cards, I had them everywhere. I put them on the table with the stickers. I wanted just moms to see like, hey, there's a, if you want to introduce your, you know, yourself and also your children, this new stickers so they can see themselves in these characters, or just bring some diversity in what they have, you know, already, you know. So I'm just like really pushing myself out there, like trying my best to be there to show that there is a brand. It's just so small, but I'll be there with growing them more and more.
No, you are such a go-getter, and there is this light about you. Like, I was literally in the middle of a photo shoot, and then all of a sudden we're like, hey, yeah. Who are you? Yeah. Like, we stopped our photo shoot to talk to you, like, because there was just something about you. You're magnetic, and you're passionate, and then you handed us your cards with these just adorable stickers, and I just, like, was like, oh my gosh, this is the representation that's been missing. And I love that you shared with us your big vision, because I can absolutely see it happening. And I hope that everyone will go to your website and support your work and make a purchase or share with their friends, at the very least, follow you on Instagram and share your work, because we all need to be supporting one another, but especially elevating the voices of those that have not been heard and have not been represented for so long. And I am just so honored to have you on the show and to share your journey. And you are one hell of a go-getter, I'll tell you that. And I love what you're doing and what you're building, but it's your passion behind it and your artwork that I know is just gonna light so many people on fire and to help them feel less alone and wanting to buy it for their kids and their relatives and their friends and their family. And you know, I remember, you know, even having a white son, me being like, here's a, you know, black baby doll. Like, we need to make sure we have diversity for all of our children, and making sure that the books that I bought my son weren't just white characters. Yeah. Like, this is incredible. So your work isn't only for the Latinx community. Uh-huh. It's for everyone to purchase and to make sure that our kids aren't only seeing themselves represented, which is totally important, but they're seeing so many diverse bodies of all sizes, shapes, colors, and abilities represented, because that's what Los Angeles is, right? Yeah. Like that's where that corner of the world is, which is really a reflection on the greater world, not just Los Angeles, yeah. And maybe someone listening lives in a tiny rural community, mm-hmm. and their world isn't as diverse. But I can tell you there is such power and beauty in bringing diversity into not only your world, but your children's world. Mm-hmm. And it is incredibly, incredibly important.
Yes, very important. Thank you for that. I'm just really happy that I got to be here and talk to you, because like I said, we totally hit it off the first time. And I was like, I love her. Her outfit is so cute. I mean, I don't know. You need to share that picture with me, because I was like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't normally meet people for the first time in a bathing suit, but you know, it's all good. You're so sweet. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find your work, how they can support you?
Yes. So you can follow me on my Instagram. It's Hola Mijas Bonitas. And also you can check you can check my website, holamijasbonitas.shop. And I'm also on TikTok, but my TikTok is Claudia Ramos Designs. But yeah, if you just follow me on my Instagram, you can get there's a link where it will send you to all my platforms that you can follow me. But yeah, I'm so honored to be talking to you, and I just feel I needed this, because you know, there are moments, like as an entrepreneur, like it's a roller coaster of emotions. I feel like there are moments that you're like, yes, and there are moments that you're just kind of like, oh, down, and the inner voice comes in, and I just feel like talking right now with you, I'm just like, yes, I'm so
totally. I mean, there are still days when I'm like, can I really do this? Am I really doing this? And then it's all the hype of the other people in my bubble that are like, yeah, you're doing it. Yeah. And you're changing lives. That's exactly what you are doing too. And so we need to support one another, mm-hmm. and hype one another up as moms too, mm-hmm. because it is so hard to balance everything and to do our best and to make a difference at the same time. And you are doing all of that. I'm going to put all of your links you just shared with us over at plusmommy.com in the show notes. I will put your artwork in there too, so people can see your girls and get a feel for everything we've been talking about and actually visualize it. And I love the stickers that you gave me, and I will cherish them, and I need to buy more and support you. And I'm just so delighted that we connected and that you shared that story of that 10-year-old little girl, mm-hmm. not seeing herself represented. And now there are so many 10-year-old little girls seeing themselves represented because of your work.
Oh, thank you. I want to cry. It's a lot. And also too, it's like therapy for me too. Like it's a way of healing all that time that I felt, all those doubts and not being seen. And now that I'm older, I'm 42, I still have those little emotions, that little 10-year-old, you know, that felt, that didn't feel seen. So this is also for, like, that's why I'm so passionate about this, because it's literally speaking for myself also, you know, that little girl that didn't see herself. So I'm just so happy that I'm here to tell you and everybody that's listening to that, like, you know, I'm really passionate about what I love, that I'm doing, and I really want to change the world anyway with my work, you know, and creating these little characters have so much meaning, so much heart. And so you're getting, if you get them, you know, you have that little heart in there. And so, yeah, I just want to say thank you again. I'm sorry.
Let's stop apologizing. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I can cry. I am okay to cry. But I really am passionate, like, what I am doing. And I'm just so hearing it from you, coming from your mouth, saying, like, what, you know, hearing it back, it's just, wow, I can't believe that this is, I'm doing this, you know? So thank you.
You are. You're doing it. And you're creating change. And I totally admire that. And that's why I wanted you on my show.
Thank you.
And I know you wanted to generously offer the listeners a little discount. So let us know how we can get our hands on that.
Yes. So when you go to my website, please use this code called Plus Mommy. You'll get 10% discount to anything on my website.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I know people are going to walk away with so many gems, including that we all need to stop apologizing.
Yes.
But, but it's good. It's a good reminder, right?
Reminder.
But most importantly, that we can find gaps within our lives and find ways to, you know, have to build an empire that mm-hmm. Claudia is clearly building and will build and change so much with what you're doing, but that we can always find that space in our own lives to find more representation yeah. and more diversity. And that is so important. And I'm just, I'm thrilled. And I loved our conversation. And again, I hope people will support you. And until next time, friends, goodbye.
Goodbye.